Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. Benedict's. If you're visiting us for the first time, we hope you feel at home. And we're so happy to see you here. Three clergymen got to the pearly gates at the same time. A Lutheran pastor, a Roman Catholic priest, and an Episcopal priest. The problem is that it was Peter's day off, and so Jesus was in charge of the entrance exam. And so Jesus looked at the three clergymen and he said, "Listen, today's entrance exam is very, very easy, very simple for you. You just have to answer this question. Who do you say that I am?" So the Lutheran pastor walked up to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Pastor, who do you say that I am?" And he looked at Jesus and said, "Well, the Bible says..." "Pastor, I know what the Bible says. Don't quote what the Bible says. Please tell me." "No, but if I can't use the Bible, you don't understand. How am I going to use the Bible?" Trap doors open right underneath him, and boom, gone. It was the turn of the Roman Catholic priest. Roman Catholic priest goes right up to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Well, you, sir, I hope you have a better answer. I'm telling you, who do you say that I am?" Priest looks at Jesus and says, "Well, you know, in the Pope's latest document, it says..." "Don't tell me what the Pope's latest document says. I know what the Pope said. Just tell me. It's a simple question. Who do you say that I am?" "Well, you know, I want to tell you what the Pope said." And his trap doors open. It was the turn of the Episcopal priest. And he looked at Jesus. And of course, he saw what happened to his other two colleagues. So he was a bit afraid of those trap doors. So he looked at Jesus and Jesus said, "Now you saw what happened to those two, right? Listen to me carefully. Who do you say that I am?" The priest immediately said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And just as Jesus was beginning to smile and gesture to the pearly gates to let him in, he said, "But you can also think about it..." Oof. Was Jesus asking a theological question, I wonder? There are two important questions in today's gospel that I want us to think about. The first one seems very general. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples. And the answer came back, "Well, some say a prophet, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist." You know, that's what they're saying out there. I don't know how many of you remember the game when you were children, the game telephone. You remember telephone? Some people call it gossip. Some people call it Chinese telephone. It's the same game. It starts over here, and some information is given to the first person, right? And then it goes around the room. By the time it gets to the last person, what the last person says is totally different from what the first person says, right? So it seems a little bit like that. If it was the 21st century, we would say that Jesus was taking an opinion poll. And he was asking them, "What's the crowd saying about me? What are they all saying?" And they basically said what the crowd said. They echoed what they heard on the street. But see, it's the second question we really have to be concerned with. Because I believe the second question is much more personal and much more direct. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What an important question. Because Jesus was now asking his disciples not just to look in their mind for a quick answer. He was telling them they had to go into the depths of their mind and heart and soul to come up with what they really experienced when they were with Jesus. Who do you say that I am? I'm going to invite you today, my friends, every one of us here in this church, together, to do a spiritual exercise. I want you to think about the person that you're closest to, the person that you have loved the most in this world, your spouse, your mother or father, a loved one, someone you've really, really cared about, and then try to answer that question. Who do you say this person is? I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of time and energy and effort to really go into the depths of your heart to answer that. Who do you say this person you care about is? Because it's a very personal question. I want to tell you the story of Tim. Tim was a man who visited a nursing home every day. Tim would go to the nursing home and he would sit in front of a lady, and every day the lady wanted Tim to say the same story. Tim would begin the story by saying where he came from and how he educated himself and got himself through school and through work to finally become a successful person. And then Tim would share how he fell in love with this wonderful woman. And when he fell in love with this wonderful woman, they created a family together, and they had wonderful children. And eventually they had wonderful grandchildren. And they created a home together. And then Tim would say, and you know, I was married to that same woman for 55 years. And the lady would smile. And then Tim would say, and you know, that woman is you. And then the woman would smile. And as he would feed her lunch, every day this woman would ask Tim to repeat that story each and every day. When Tim would leave the nursing home after an hour and a half of being there with his wife, some of his friends would say to him, Tim, how can you do that? She doesn't even recognize you anymore. She doesn't even know who you are. How can you do that day after day after day and tell her the same story over and over again? And Tim said, you know, it doesn't matter what she knows. What matters is that I know who she is, and I know who I am. And that's why I do that every day. See, the question, who do you say that I am, is a very personal question. And when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am, he did not want a magic formula or a theological formula. When we think of theological formulas, it's that religion stuff we've learned all our life, right? Growing up in Sunday school and religion class or catechesis, and we've learned, oh yes, the Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus was asking something deeper than that. Because you have a relationship with me, you, my disciples, you, my apostles, who do you say that I am? In other words, do you really know me? And if it takes you a lot of effort to come up with how you describe the people you love most in this world, we need to do the same exercise spiritually when it comes to Jesus. We need to be able to say, how do I describe who Jesus is in my life? Who do you say that I am? I remember when I was a teenager, I went through some spiritual retreats. And at the end of the retreat, you had to get up and say, who is Jesus in your life? That was a tough question, you know? But I know you have to work at it, because you've got to go into the depths of your soul and say, who is the Lord really in my life? Is it just a theological idea? Like an idea up there in the world of ideas and forms? Or is it really a relationship with a real person? Because Jesus is real. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He doesn't want to be a distant God, a faraway God. God wants to be close to you. That's why a formula or a theological explanation won't do it. You can't just describe Jesus as you describe some kind of scientific formula. You know, it's funny, when I go to restaurants with Albert and Camila, and I know they're here, I'm hoping they're not listening, but they're distracted, good. I usually say to the waiter or the waitress, I say, you know, would you give them that juice with a little H2O, you know, like water it down, you know, make it a little H2O? They don't know what H2O is yet. For them, it's just two letters with a number in between. But, you know, now Camila's in the first grade. And very, very soon, she's going to know H2O means water. So I got to come up with a different formula for the waiter or the waitress so that I can get water put in there so that all that sugar and high fructose corn syrup and all that stuff they put in drinks today doesn't affect them. Because a formula is easy to understand, and it's scientific, and it's direct. But we can't describe our relationship with God that way. If Jesus is just a formula to you, if Jesus is just a theory or an idea to you, you've got to get more personal. That's why I believe that today in this gospel, God is giving us some deep spiritual homework. Who do you? You Christian in the 21st century, you man, you woman, you child, you young person, who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Because ultimately, it's not just what we say about Jesus. We will define who Jesus is by the way that we live. Because we say and we believe that the most important commandment Jesus taught us was to love God and to love neighbor, right? Aren't those the two most important commandments Jesus gave us? Love God and love neighbor. When we love God and love neighbor, and it shows in our life, we are actually saying to others who Jesus is to us. We are defining Jesus not just with a formula or a group of words. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That's true. Jesus is God. That's true. We show who Jesus is in our life when we live out the fullness of the Christian life and when we seek to truly love God and neighbor as Jesus taught us. Then we are defining Jesus in very real terms. So man, woman, Christian in the 21st century, who do you say that I am? That's an important question. The answer is very important. We show it with our lives. You know, recently I was with a group of our parishioners in the Holy Land, and we were in Bethlehem at the beginning, and toward the end we were in parts of Egypt, and we met Christians there, and Muslims and Jews, of course, but we met Christians who told us with great urgency that they are now a very small minority. In many of those places, as you know, Christians have been persecuted and Christians have left. And so the Christian population is smaller and smaller, but you can see in their eyes, and when they spoke to you, you could see how important it was to them to identify themselves as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And you could see how important it was to them that others knew that they were different, that they were followers of Jesus Christ. And I was very, very impressed with that. I even saw in a church on a certain afternoon, there was this little church in Cairo, in old Cairo, where there were all these young people and all these children playing in the church. Inside the pews, you saw the kids running around, and outside you saw kids doing sports things and all that. There were all these youth and all these kids, and I asked one of the people there, one of the volunteers, how come there are so many kids here? He says, oh, because this is where they come to come together with other Christians, other believers to share their faith. This is where they come to socialize, and this is where they come to meet each other and to hang out and spend time together. This little church, a fraction of the size of our church and a fraction of the size of our grounds, they were all there playing around and having a great time. And I thought that was so interesting. See, to them who are now a minority in that part of the world, a very small minority, it's important for them to keep that identity of who Jesus is. To those of us who have been raised in a Judeo-Christian nation where maybe to be a Christian is not so foreign, as a matter of fact, it seems to be kind of the norm. Yeah, we were raised, baptized, raised in the faith. We kind of know this tradition. We may forget. But ultimately, we too need to answer the question, who do we say Jesus is? Does it show in our life that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Are we defining for others who Jesus is by our words and actions, by our life? Who do we say Jesus is? Our spiritual homework for the week, or maybe for the month or the year. The spiritual homework we need to take with us after listening to this gospel is, if the Lord were to ask us the question, who do you say that I am? How would we respond? Have we looked into the depths of our hearts, our souls, and have we tried to really come up with who the Lord is to us? And how does answering that question make my life different? Who is the Lord in my life? How does living the Christian life make my life better? Make the lives of those around me better? How do I understand that Christianity is not just about a bunch of dogmas and doctrines and formulas, but it's about living the life of Christ and living in Christ? Am I able to say, this is who Jesus is by the life that I lead? In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.